Hey everybody, today is February 11th, which means it is National Guitar Day. So here on the Big Daily Blend, we have a special guest. He's been on our show a few times over the years. Emmy and multiple award-winning guitarist Brian Tarquin is back. And in the show notes, I'm going to put links to everything we're talking about. He's got a new album, album out. It is called Beyond the Warrior's Eyes. And he and his heavy friends, as he calls them, love to get together and put these albums together, benefiting veterans. So welcome back, Brian. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Lisa?
Doing good, doing good. This album, you've got the heaviness, you got the heavy friends and got the heavy, but you got the jazz. You got the heavy and you got the jazz. And you got the orchestra.
Yeah, I had the Budapest Orchestra in this too, as well.
Actually, I have to say that is probably one of my favorite songs, going through the album, which kind of was just like, wow, a soldier's journey. Because it's pretty emotional, actually. It feels like you're going through all kinds of different things when you're listening to that.
Yeah, I really enjoy that song. That's one of my favorites on the album too. I have Steve Kindler on there, and I always really liked, he's an electric violinist who played with Jeff Beck and Jan Hammer. And he, all-time favorite Jeff Beck records called Jeff Beck Live with Jan Hammer. And he plays violin, and he's so awesome with all of what he's playing with the violin, because he's keeping up on both Jeff Beck and Jan Hammer. It was one of my big influenced records when I was a kid in the 70s.
Well, you were on our show, it's a couple times last year with the previous album, right? Brothers in Arms. And what is interesting, we did a Q&A with you on being a successful guitarist. And
Yes.
you have played with so many people. So I want to kind of touch base on that. And everyone, the link is in the show notes. We'll put the link to the magazine on that. And, with it being Guitar Day, I think this is so perfect. I was like, oh, look at this. You're supposed to air on this day, and it's Guitar Day. And I'm like, well, gee, we've got one of the best here. And you play with some of the best. I mean, think about it, all these people that you've played on with these albums that are benefiting our military heroes. Give us a few, tell us, drop some names of this album and give us some from the past too. Because, I mean, I was looking at that going, holy cow, this is like the ultimate.
Yeah, on this record, I was really fortunate. I had Jean-Luc Ponty, which is a violinist, but he's actually one of the foremost violin progressive jazz artists. And he's up there in age. He's like 80, but he's like amazing. And he was in Mahavishnu Orchestra, and he really
Wow.
kind of gap between like classical music and jazz. I was really fortunate in getting Eric Johnson on the album, and Robin Ford, and Dean Brown played with Billy Cobham and David Sanborn and John Tropez, who was a really great jazz artist in the 70s. Steve Morse, of course, from Deep Purple and the Dixie Dregs, Carl Verheyen from Supertramp. It was great. And Larry McRae, I brought him in. He's a blues guitarist. He played with John Mayall, but I was style, so it was great. And then Hal Lindes, who's been on some of my other records, he was from Dire Straits. And of course, the other guitarist from the last album, these two albums of Brothers in Arms and Beyond the Warrior's Eyes were done over the pandemic, and they were one record. And when I got through with it, because I kept going with it and going with it, and when I got through with it, I realized, hey, here's, these albums, this can make two really good records in their own genres. Because I thought releasing it as one, they'd probably lose some meaning to it. So this way, I released the Brothers in Arms as a metal record. Vinnie Moore and of course Joe Satriani and Jeff Duncan from Armored Saint, and then this one is more of a jazz fusion record, where guys like Jean-Luc and Eric Johnson and things. So
It's interesting how you merge it all together, going into the metal and then the jazz. And I think that's what brings a warmth to your music. is that you're bringing those two together, even on the metal one, right? Brothers in Arms is also, it's heavy, but you still have that, there's a warmth to it. And I don't know if it's the way you record or, you know, I was thinking about that today when I was listening to the album, the new one too. I was like, yeah, there's a warmth that you have because it can get really technical, this kind of playing, right? Even jazz can get so technical that you lose, there's not you, but dynamics can be lost. And I know we always bring up dynamics, like, you know, it's important.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think the dynamics, the way it probably could be part of the way it's arranged in compositions. And also, I think the way I record, because both of these records, you know, I recorded onto tape. And then brought it back into digital because it was done on the pandemic. So they were flying me in parts of their stuff. And then we went back and I mixed it through, you know, I have a big, you know, studio with an analog desk and warm outboard gear, tube gear. And then I mixed it down to quarter inch tape and we mastered it off of the actual analog tape. So I try to keep the warmth in there because, like you said, with this kind of music, it can get a little too technical, but also, you know, with the new recording techniques, it can get a little too frigid, a little too kind of stale, you know.
And then playing with different people, does that kind of also change it up for you, you know, putting this together?
Yeah, because that brings in dynamics when you bring different players and different people into the mix, where they like, oh wow, this is, you know, a violin player is going to play very differently than a metal player, and then as opposed to a keyboard player or so forth, or more of a jazz guitarist to metal guitarist. So it does definitely depend on the song and the player as well.
Now you've got the same drummer for both albums?
Yes, I do. Reggie
Okay.
Pryor.
Yeah.
Long time.
So, I mean, what kicked you off into doing this kind of album and doing it for veterans? Because you're always raising awareness and money for veterans in different ways with this.
Yeah, you know, I was always, you know, having being a child of the 70s, I think that, you know, it's kind of, you know, the veterans were treated so poorly back then that I'd always kind of left an everlasting mark on how they. Kind of when I grew up in New York City and I saw all these veterans homeless and going through the subway, and it was kind of like, you know, disgraceful the way kind of America turned their back on everybody at that time. And this is kind of like a really cool way of bringing something that I do to the veterans, and you know, what better way to thank them than through music and giving them thanks for what they do. Because, you know, not a lot of people, because I've talked to other, you know, veterans, and they always tell me, believe it or not, people don't really thank them that often. So
some of them don't want to be, you know, talked to, you know, there's a difference. But then it's, I think you're really right. We've been doing some shows since we last talked on Vietnam War history. And, you know, talking about that when, you know, you were either drafted or you went in, right? And, you know, coming home, how they were really, like you were saying, you know, they were put down. And then also, what about all helping veterans, you know, after they come home, whether it's for mental health or actual health care? I think the system has some things in there, but it's so difficult to get through it all. It's like, I always say that when someone gets really sick, the medical system is worse than dealing with the medical issue sometimes.
Fortunately, the medical system can be pretty rough, and especially back then, you know, the Vietnam veterans in particular, you know, always had a soft place in my heart for them because they were treated so poorly, and it never really was made back up to them, or it was, I don't know, it was a tough thing, you know. And you know, it's funny, last night when I was lying in bed, I was watching this Vietnam in HD, and it was in really cool and kind of like groundbreaking in a way, because they brought in actual letters from families and soldiers that were going back in line, and you see how much they went through, and just, you know, it was the war itself too was so brutal. and the casualties were so great, and people just kind of never really recovered mentally from this. You know, the mental, I think, scars were worse than the physical. So I went to a different charity this time to Hope for the Warriors, because they really bring we're honing into Marines and Navy veterans and helping
Okay.
them with illness and reconditioning for civilian life. And my dad was a Marine in World War II, so I thought it was apropos to go with them.
And I want to tell everybody we're going to have the link in the show notes, whether you're watching this on YouTube, listening on Spotify, wherever you are, we're going to have that link in there and up on our site, because you can go to, well, you've got a couple, there's one that's actually a donation page. How does all of this work? So people know how to, I mean, number one, everyone can go to briantarquin.com. You can start there. But when they get the album, they can go to hopeforthewarriors.org to learn more about the nonprofit. But then you have a special link that goes as like a donation, right, for people.
Special link that is hosted on the Hope for the Warriors, and you can put it on when this is a longer link, but you can.
It's a long, we need a tiny URL. Thank you. But yeah, we'll have that link there. But, and so people donate when they do that. So it's not like through actually purchasing the album, but through the donations where the money goes.
Donate right to Hope for the Warriors right at
That's
that link.
awesome. That's awesome.
Goes right to them directly.
Oh, that makes it cleaner, you know?
Yeah, I like that. And that way they can just donate to the cause and it goes, right to them, there's no third party involvement or anything.
Yeah, that becomes messy, you know. But I like it because out of all of it, even beyond the money thing, I think it's the awareness, you know. And
Awareness, so many people are not aware of it, and that's kind of why I try to, get people aware of all this.
when you put these projects together and you're contacting all these other musicians, are they becoming more aware too by doing that?
I think so, and I think that they actually really become more concerned and aware and everything that they can, pass on to their fan base and to their people. And just, it's a matter of really getting the word out.
Yeah. Now let's go back, since it's guitar day. Go back to the guitar. Do you remember your first guitar?
Yes, I do. My mom had lived in Mexico as an artist in the
All right.
50s. She had brought back this guitar that I started playing. It's a little Spanish nylon guitar. And it was cool. I started playing that, and then I remember that was my first one, and I remember them getting, I think it was on my 9th or 10th birthday, I forget, an electric guitar from Sam Goody in Manhattan, and they had, and it was cool. I remember it was like a little amp and guitar kind of combo, and man, I love looking at it, I love touching it, love just playing it, and kind of went on from there to each to a better guitar and a better guitar to finally, getting something that's really cool. But yeah, I always love guitars, still to this day, just collecting them and getting.
Oh, so you collect them too. So now, okay. So you're doing the metal side. Now, wait, let's go back on. You've done the jazz, and I remember you talking about acid jazz too before. So, everybody drop acid and listen to jazz. No, just kidding. Don't do that. Or do it if you want. I don't care. But, talk a little bit about the different genres, because you do composing also for soundtracks. And you won Josie Awards too, that since we talked as well. So we got a lot of that happening.
For Joe Satriani, for Speed of Light, actually, Speed of Sound was the name of
Yeah.
the song, Arms, and that was done. It was an AI video done with Joe and I, and I'm really, really proud of that video. I'm really happy about that whole collaboration with Joe.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now I'm going back into when you started playing music, playing guitar. What were you playing, a little bit of everything, or when did you decide, hey, I'm going to go veer off on jazz and then I'm going to veer off on metal? Do you play a little bit of everything?
Yeah, jazz came later on, Metal really kind of wasn't invented yet. It was kind of like either acid rock or rock. I think hard rock was a common term too. Heavy metal kind of came later on. But what I liked, in those days, I liked, Aerosmith. I was a real big fan of the British Invasion. So, all of those, like Jimmy Page, Jeff Beck, Eric Clapton, the Blues Breakers. I really like Santana. So the kind of, I always kind of really liked the instrumental versions of all of what they were doing. Like Santana always had like these great instrumentals, and Jeff Beck, even Led Zeppelin had a couple. And of course, with Eric Clapton and the Blues Breakers, he had those. And Jeff Beck, of course, he kind of reimagined the whole format of rock jazz fusion. That's how I kind of got introduced. And of course, Hendrix was a big kind of influence. Third Stone from the Sun was so jazz influenced, and it was really cool. He had these great chords and these octaves. That's how I found out about octaves was Hendrix, not knowing that, Wes Montgomery had invented it years and years before. But it was like listening to all these great Hendrix riffs, and Third Stone from the Sun was one of the big ones. And
What
that
about Gary Moore? Because actually listening to this album, I was like, I would have loved, I know he's passed now, but Gary Moore belongs on this album too. I'm just saying. I just kind of heard,
Yeah, Gary was great, especially Gary with Thin Lizzy was another favorite of mine. He was in Thin Lizzy, and they had like these guitar dual harmonies and everything going on, and I was really always influenced about all of that kind of thing. So, you probably begin to hear it in all the playing that, I'm drawing from all this. Later on, I got into jazz, like, probably in the early 80s, the few what was going on with like John Scofield, Pat Metheny, those kinds of artists, that they were melding these different kind of sounds from maybe funk or world beat or rock, and that's what I always like, to just draw from all of these different genres.
It's called a blend. It's a good thing. I hate, yeah, well, I love this album because you really do blend in jazz and metal, so it's almost touching toes with prog rock in a way, the way some of the songs build up and then it like eases you out and it's like, oh, we're bringing you back in. It's like you're in and out of war.
I also look at it as like it's telling a story too, the whole album, the nine track. I only have one vocal track, and that's These Colors Don't Run by with Phil Navarro and Steve Morse.
That's good. It's good. I love the whole album. It was surprising. There was like surprises in there for me after the last one. So that it not surprising that I liked it. I already knew I'm gonna like it, but I was like, oh wow, that I didn't expect this over here. I know you told me you're gonna have some jazz in there, and I was like, oh, listen to this, So you kind of it almost takes you into like if you think about a battle. Right, in all the different wars, and it almost takes you on a geographical journey, but then an emotional journey of what soldiers go through, whether it's in war, and then there's the war that comes once you come home, and the
Yes,
internal war,
that's exactly it. Yeah, I guess a journey, that's why with the soldier's journey, I want to make that so cinematic with the orchestra, because it really does take you on this journey,
That's
through.
anthemic. That is like an anthem. That's just like, and especially to have something anthemic that is instrumental, you don't hear that very often.
Yeah, it's true. Because with instrumental, I always feel like you gotta captivate the audience and keep them, because they're less attention span than certainly a vocal song, because vocal songs are more people can latch onto those.
So what's next?
What's next? I don't know. Right now, Since the album just came out, I'm you know trying to support the album what I can,
It's
and
already charting, right? You sent me a list. It's on. Tell everyone it's doing good.
it was top, it just charted top 10 on the Jam Band charts, so which that was great, you know, and those people really enjoying it. So, and the Spotify, my Spotify numbers have really gone up quite a lot since this album came out. So,
Good.
you know, with people streaming. So I'm glad people are enjoying it. You know, it's always hard to know with an instrumental record what they're going to like it, or, you know, how they're going to react, what songs people.
Does Spotify help? I mean, I'm so confused about this now. 1 minute it's good, 1 minute it sucks. Snoop Dogg saying he's getting a little bit of money from all these, songs being played by, gazillions and bazillion times, and then it's like, here's your pennies. Then I hear like one musician is like living off of it. I'm like, I don't know what it is anymore. Does it work? I mean,
You know, with these streaming, especially Spotify and Apple, it's all about getting the song, I believe, on a large playlist. And once it gets on a large playlist, then you have an audience, and the audience really starts to listen to it. Then your monthly listenership goes up. And the way it is I think the way they try to do this whole thing is that it's a numbers game. So if your monthly listenership up, you get your listeners, and you then see more money. A lot of this is for the younger generation, like Spotify, like genres like rap and lo-fi and you know, more contemporary pop music. You know, you'll see artists that you never even heard of have, like, you know, millions of monthly listeners, and they are making, you know, thousands of dollars a month, you know,
Good.
from their listenership. It's strange because, you know, the payment is not great because it is really fractions of it. And the way the payment comes too is comes from different sources. For instance, like, there's this thing called the Mechanical License Collective that they pay on these DSPs that stream. And then, of course, you have the PROs like CSAC, ASCAP, BMI
Man.
that pay. And then you have the distributors paying on the streams like they are sales. But of course, the sales are nothing equal to what you would have sold on records or radio
So
for.
everybody's basically taking a cut out of well, you still have they, I mean, it's part of the industry and they're helping, so people do need to get paid, but it's like there's basically 10 hands per paycheck.
It's everybody, you know, all these different societies and places are collecting some fraction or micro fraction of that stream and then passing it on to the artist and taking their cut.
Wow.
That's
And it's the
the way.
same thing for YouTube. And YouTube has really changed even for podcasting. They're quitting Google Podcasts and
Yeah.
everything's going to YouTube now, which I think in a way, I don't know, it's because of their YouTube music channel for people who are subscribers. So now they're like, well, people are listening in the gym. They're not necessarily watching as much. So the podcast part is all going through there. So we'll see how it goes, but this is all happening now and changing now, and they're
It's always
pretty cool to work with, though.
it's weird. It's kind of a strange industry. It's changed so much that it's constantly in flux. You
It's
have,
the
like,
Wild West, man.
incredible. You know, in the old days with the brick and mortar, it was like you got paid from the distributor and you got paid from Harry Fox and the record company, and that was it. You know, now it's like, you know, you have all these different micro companies that pop out of the woodwork that they're paying different.
And you hope they actually do pay you, and do you have to chase them down? Like, give me my money. That's the other thing. I mean, it can get lost in the shuffle when there's so many pots on the stove,
Thing, it was worse in the old days because they just would flat out not pay you, and you'd have to really check. But today, because they're, you know, it's, you know, today the record industry is run by the IT department because it's all streaming.
But it may be better than the mafia if you were Roulette Records.
It's all of this computerized thing. I think the positive side of it is that all these streams and plays are registered because they are technically oriented and they have some sort of a fingerprint on them. So you see accurate numbers of how many streams there are for each artist, songs and everything. So
Well, it's interesting too. I mean, even just the production of things, producing music. Like I know here you're going from tape, and then you have the digital side of things too. So it's kind of an interesting, you're blending both sides, which is cool.
I thought, actually combine, the only way to go is combine both now, because you wouldn't want to stay all in analog, because there were so many problems with that, getting involved, with clarity and various things. And you don't want to stay all in digital, only because it's, the digital just it gets a little bit too harsh sounding. So I find, the marriage of both and using both is the best of both worlds,
That's
actually.
cool. Well, we're waiting for more now, Brian. You can't take a break. I know you have to do all the marketing stuff, go around and, but.
That's the thing, the thing I enjoy the most is the actual actual creativeness of it, being in the studio, creating it, forming it, seeing it come to life, seeing it come to fruition. That's my favorite
Do you
part.
get sucked into the vortex when you do this? I mean, do you have to remember to eat dinner, or like do you stick to regular life schedules and then, but if
Once you get going, it's like, it's they come out, and it's like, when I was doing this record, I'd go in at night and then I'd come out and the sun's rising, out of the studio. It's just
cool.
so wrapped up into it and taken in, and sucked in, like I said.
I live like that too, and it's, I don't know, I like it. I like being awake when no one else is. It's like it's my universe at that time,
Is.
It's
It's great. Your life. Yeah. Great.
It's a
It
good.
seems like that, you wake up and you're the only person that around. It's kind of cool,
Yeah.
you're able to do creative stuff.
So how many guitars do you have now in your collection, do you think?
This is so many. I'm
Really?
like, I actually went to, here's a cool guitar story. I'm down in Orlando at the Orlando Guitar Expo, and I ran into this guy named Josh from the Amp Shop. And it was such a cool thing because he actually recognized me. And he said that, would I like to try his amps? And so he wanted me really to try his amps. He had his guitar there and the amp set up and everything. And I plugged in, and it blew me away, these amps. They were basically a Marshall JCM on steroids, meeting a basically a Soldano Coliseum amp. Awesome sound. It really has the Van Halen sound.
Oh, wow.
I mean, just nailed it. It was great. I was playing there, and then people started to kind of come around and see me, and it was actually a really cool experience. And the amp is called the Mariner, and it's awesome. And he gave me one to endorse. I actually took
Cool.
this right there and then on the spot. It was a wonderful experience. This guy, Josh, is incredible. He's 26 years old. He's really into guitar, really into the whole technical part of tube amps. It's all tube amp. And he put it together himself. He has this company that he's taking over from an older gentleman named John, and they are coming up with this new amp. And this is so apropos for your show, because being
Yeah, it's
guitar
Guitar
day,
Day. Yeah.
guys love this amp. It really is incredible. I have a Marshall Plexi that I have a mod, a Cameron mod on it, by this guy, Cameron, that does it to do that kind of Van Halen mod. But this one, it blows it away. It's incredible the way he did this amp. And you have like two stages, a stage one, a stage two. You have your controls to mix it. And I got to tell
Oh, that's
you, Gus.
cool though.
Yeah. And you know, he's a young kid too, and he looks just like my son Liam, which blew me away. We have a picture, I'll send a picture of us at the show of me holding the amp.
Yeah.
Was like, I showed it to my daughters, and my daughters was like, I thought that was Liam, my son, in the picture from the distance. It's great. So, it was a great experience. I saw a lot of old vintage guitars and everything, and it's cool to go and see it. But it's really, really
Well,
incredible.
that's interesting what you're saying about, the amp is just like you get the guitar, but having the right amp for the right guitar, that match. I mean,
So important having the right guitar for the right amp and vice versa, and actually the right equipment. Another shout out who I really support, and he's a young kid too. I think he's probably in his 30s. He has a company here in Florida called Audioscape. He makes, microphone preamps and audio gear, compressors, limiters, really to spec of what the vintage was back in the day, back in the 60s and the 50s.
Oh,
And I have a
cool.
name is Chris Yetter, Audioscape. Everybody go to him. I want to give a great shout out to him. He's endorsed me through the years. And one of his great things that I love, he's got like a basically this thing that's a 1176. It's a copy of this compressor. It's a simple thing. He's also got a version of this as a mic preamp, and I have to say it just sounds so awesome on guitars, as we're speaking about guitars. So it's about the tools. You got to have the right tools for the game here, and if you want to get those authentic sounds, the plugins, I get, you know, they've come a long way and they sound good, but they're just not as good as as the real thing.
That's
It's not.
interesting. Yeah, when you talk about plugins, I go to websites and I'm like, and I hate plugins are always doing updates and they suck.
Exactly. It's like, it's you need the real butter. It's not, I can't believe it.
So this is this so with guitars, like when you look at, you're talking about Van Halen and, Hendrix, have you ever purchased any other guitar that you really wanted, or like do you listen to what they do and then go, I want that kind of guitar for this sound that I'm working on? Do you ever like go and purchase a different guitar, like according to what you're writing, and realize I need a new guitar?
It's funny.
This is dangerous, like, because I know guitar shopping is it. You know, the two there's three things that we get in trouble for, other than wine, because I'll buy wine, I buy it and drink it, and buy it and drink it. That's a constant. But the worst thing, and especially being on the road, full time, plants, music, and books. Those three things. And I want the real book, the Kindle thing. I know people love all that. Good for you. I want the book. Those three things. I remember going to Powell's in Portland, oh God, about 15 years ago. And Nancy and I walked in. We walked out with a cart of, I mean, like a shopping cart that you would go to get groceries, music, musical instrument. I don't know. We're like, well, this makes a cool sound. I don't know what was going through our heads, but we had an entire shopping cart and we realized there's a sickness to this,
That's
you
great.
know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's when you go shopping for guitars, you kind of have an idea of what you want. I'm a sucker for some of these signature things. So I have a Jeff Beck signature, but I put in it, I always modify stuff. What I did is I put an Eric Clapton boost preamp in it. So I kind of have the best of both worlds with them.
Oh, that's cool.
And I also bought it's called the Shark. It's the Eddie Van Halen striped guitar, but shaped like his original one, the Explorer he had, the red and white one. And I like getting some of these sounds, and I also like building guitars. So I put
Oh.
guitars, like I make a body, like I made one, last year. It was like a gold top, double cutaway Les Paul, and I put like a Van Halen pickup in there, and I put like a 59 Seymour Duncan there, and it came out great. And I put like a Strat neck on the on a neck on a body that's a Les. I love mixing all around and
Now,
getting.
what about the pedals? Do you get into the pedals too?
I do. I'm not such a big pedal guy, though. I've written a book about pedals, but I do get into pedals. Pedals are kind of cool. I like whammy bar pedals to get these different effects and wah-wah pedals. And back, it's funny. GHS just sent me this pedal. It's a great.
Ben, this is good. This is good timing for everybody.
The Black Cat Rocktron wah pedal, and it's a really great pedal. It's awesome. And since we're talking about all the guitars, I
Yeah.
have all.
Well, okay. So you know what guitar? Now, I want to get a Buddy Guy guitar because the polka dots are cool.
Kind of cool, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Here's a guitar right here behind me. It's the Van Halen one. It's called Tahiti Nights with the
ooh,
color.
that's
And
beautiful.
I love it. It's a great, I got it on a trade last year, and I absolutely love it. It's like has a baked maple neck and his signature Wolfgang pickups, and is the obviously the Floyd Rose. It's just it's a great it's an awesome thing for this
Well, okay, so you're so into Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen. There's a new book out about him called Tone Chaser. Have you read it?
I have it. When did it come out?
Yeah, it's in its third printing now, right now. He was on our show. The author was on the show, a rock journalist, and he has all these late night re tape recordings from his time hanging out. He was his really good best friend with Eddie Van Halen, and he liked transcribe these recordings.
What I heard one of them. He was the editor-in-chief of Guitar Player magazine one time, I think, or
He,
what.
well, I don't think he was an editor. He had like eight or nine cover stories in Guitar magazine, I think. So,
Oh.
yeah. So,
Oh, that's
well,
cool.
oh,
Read it. I
yeah.
can read that one.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I was just thinking since Eddie Van Halen, so that's obviously someone who influenced you too.
Eddie did it. He did a lot, and Jimmy Page did a lot. So that, I love Les Paul, and of course
Do you
Jeff
have
Beck.
any guitars that are double necks, the double guitars like that?
Used to have a double neck Gibson, the 12 string on top and the 6 string on the
Wow.
bottom.
Have they made a guitar that is like where you could do bass and guitar? Like that's not, well,
Geddy Lee from Rush used to have a double neck Rickenbacker. It was a bass on the top and a 6-string guitar on the bottom.
no way. Now, what
Yeah.
about a war guitar? Have you done a war guitar? You've got to try the war guitar. Have you seen those? War.
Yeah, they're interesting. Yeah, the war guitar. They're big, right? They have a huge
Yeah,
headstock.
big, really wide neck. I mean, it's like a bass.
Bass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, this is cool, but I do want my Buddy Guy guitar, and I'd like a national guitar. I love slide guitar. It's my thing. That's
I've been wanting to get a dobro or a pedal steel or a lap steel just because I love the way it sounds. It's great. The whole different tuning, but it sounds really cool. And like those early Led Zeppelin records, Page was using like this great pedal steel guitar on songs like Your Time Is Gonna Come, and it was great. I love this.
I think all of that sound, like, slide guitar and lap steel and everything, all of that sound is what influenced some of the wah-wah pedals,
Yeah, absolutely. I think for sure they really, really did a lot of influence on that. And of course, Hendrix and Eric Clapton made them so famous, you know, White Room with the wah-wah with Cream, and of course, you know, reinvented it, you know.
Now, what about Peter Green? I know I've brought him up. He is like at the top of my list. Peter, Gary Moore, Peter Green. There's, oh my gosh, Rory Gallagher. I'm sorry, but he
Yeah, I love Peter Green during the days of he was in John Mayall. You know, John Mayall had the greatest guitarist in his band. You know, you had Mick Taylor from the Stones, Peter Green, Clapton. I mean, he just had so
And Larry
many.
and also Caroline Wonderland. She was in them. And then we had Buddy Whittington on our show recently, and he played with him too. So,
Fleetwood was. He was a
oh
drummer.
yeah,
Mick
well,
Fleet.
Mick Fleetwood is one of the best drummers ever. He is. He's a badass. And he's just
Rory
crazy.
Gallagher's another one. He was really good.
I think one of the best. And the fact that he helped musicians, he helped. He tried to help everyone in Ireland to get out and get, you know, performed. He read a guitar magazine even, which I thought was cool.
Rory brings not just like American blues, but he brings this also kind of the folk Irish music into his playing, into his music. It's great. It's like, you know, it's kind of like Irish folk music meets, you know, Delta blues.
Well, that's, oh, you know, it would have been interesting if he met Ryd Cooder. Ryd Cooder to me is also like, he's a hell of a guitarist because he's just, he's all, he's, he, I think he puts everybody in front of him. You know, he's about less is more, I think, with him.
Yeah, he definitely kind of stood in the backdrop. And Albert
Say that again.
Lee.
Oh, Oh, him and Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, I love Stevie Ray Vaughan. He was like the last great blues guy. I just love Stevie Ray Vaughan. He was great. He had such a great tone. And he just and his feel. Did you ever see the Albert King and him perform?
That's exactly what I was thinking about when you that is just, dude. That was insane because they don't care if their fingers are bleeding. They don't give a damn. They're going, they're all in, you know?
No.
And
We should.
I
Magazine should do this something on guitars for
yeah.
your magazine, you know, Big
Yeah.
Blind.
We should do it. I'm always, you know what? 'Cause I think it's so fascinating. I've been saying for years that I would do a guitar show and have all these different guitarists on because there's guitarists like Makana out in Hawaii. He's one of the top 10 slap key guitarists, and he travels the world. He is an incredibly smart human being, very talented songwriter, and very about educating, you know, what slap key is. And he's like a re representative for Hawaii. And so I always think that there's all these, and we've interviewed a gentleman who does the war guitar. And I'm just like, you know what? We should just put everybody on a show together. And I'll just sit back and you guys can talk all about guitars. I don't, my guitar playing sucks. You know, that stopped me. It slows me down. So I need all of you guys. But it's I think we should do something, you know, we'll do something cool. But our next, when this airs, guess where we're going to be? We're going to be in Lubbock, Texas, home to Buddy Holly.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Just around the corner from him. He's got a park. His family put a park together, and then he has a museum. They've got these big well, not sunglasses, but glasses. These big metal glasses out there that people can go and take their photo with, and you
Really?
know, yeah, it's cool. They've got like a, you know, a memorial park, and you know, that's what we, you know, we're into parks and public land, so it's kind of cool. That's the one thing as we travel, we're documenting things other than parks, and a lot of it is music, and so like. Go to Winslow, Arizona. You've got the Eagles. They're standing on the corner park, you know.
That's great, yeah, right. And they did
So
a number of their records here in Florida, down at Criteria Studios, the big record, Hotel California, and one of these nights, and it's incredible what they did, you know what they accomplished.
I there's so much good music, and Now it's hard. I'm glad we do what we do because we get to get people to, because when you go like on Spotify and things like that, there's just so much, right? And they nudge you with this sound and listen to this, but even mess with your playlist. They will like not even have the full album or whatever. And I know like Dave Kirshner, he just put out another album and he did limited on Spotify. He's like, because he sits on things and creates these double, triple albums, when he does his solo stuff. And he's like, nope, on Spotify, you get six songs. If you want it, the rest, get the full album. You have to get the album, which I think is kind of, it's that's smart in a way, I think, but it's so cool to be able to get people to hear new music that is out there because there are, it's kind of, it. I just want people to not over-digitize stuff because I find that we're over-digitizing and fixing voices that the voice, why? I don't know. Like, can we just be real? Like, we need real sounds. I want the warmth that we were talking about. I want the grit. I don't want it to be absolutely over-perfect because you lose soul that way because humans are not perfect. So perfection.
Too scientific, like laboratory sterile, though.
Yeah, we don't want that because that's what music, music is about emotion. It's about sex. It's about feelings. And you can't, put a white coat on that,
No, you
It's.
can't. And then when we hear those early recordings of rock and roll, with Cream and, they have, you hear it. You hear like they're grinding back and forth. Maybe they didn't go. Maybe there's a little error there or here, but that's what makes the whole thing,
That's what
the
I
vibe.
think why I have a penchant for the blues is it's just you well then there's people that call them blues themselves blues players and I just go like you're there's fake blues. I can't explain it, but it gets my goat like I can't. Don't just play three chords really, in this typical way. There's just this it's like jazz. You can't just copy something. There's a soul to it. And jazz has soul, man. And it's something that I try to, I don't know. I just there's a bunch of imposters of the blues. It makes me it's like maybe bar band stuff. I don't know, but I got really good blues musician friends and when you hear them, it's like, damn, that's real,
Yeah, that's why I like, I like the original blues. It's like, B.B. King, all the Kings, Albert, Freddie King, the Albert Collins, those guys are all great. They
Oh
just,
man, Elmore James, Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters, all of them, man. They're all like,
Roy Buchanan. There's just so many great players,
Hey, we got Larkin Poe. They did good. They won a Grammy. I was so happy to see that they won a Grammy. And Bobby Rush. Listened to Larkin Poe? Yeah, they're doing good.
I never do. It's just too painful, usually. But they want.
Well, Brian, it is always a pleasure to chat with you. Come back anytime, get more music out. We're excited for this one to be out. So everyone, BrianTarquin.com, all the links are in the show notes. But again, the album is Beyond the Warrior's Eyes, and you can go to hopeforthewarriors.org to learn more about the nonprofit that's connected with this. But again, the link for donations are in the show notes, and then all of this will be on our site and magazine later too. And also, we want to give a shout out to our friends at the Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast who love metal. They love music. They are Wild, Mr. and Mrs. Wild. They're based in Asheville, North Carolina. And whenever Brian comes on the show, they're like, we want to be the sponsors. So we let them. So lion-rose.com. If you go to Asheville, North Carolina, you got to stay with them. They give you a beer on check-in. I mean, what, homemade brew.
Feel like going there now. That's
Actually, you should. Well, the Orange Peel's around the corner. They see a lot of good music. Where they are. Yeah. Right now they're road tripping to see music. They're seeing Pantera and oh, who's the other one? Disturbed. You go.
didn't know Pantera gone.
Yeah. They're still going. So there it is. Well, thanks so much, Brian.
Sure.